in a series called Soul Goals, and we've been talking through the goals of that Jesus had on the cross. This is a non-exhaustive series, because if I were to try to attempt to speak through everything that Jesus accomplished on the cross, it would be a never-ending series. And while I like the never-ending story movie, I do not want to be in a never-ending series. And so really, I was talking with someone this week that I could just rename the church Soul Goals Church. And I was like, man, that's so dope. And then this person didn't think it was all that dope. So we probably won't be doing a rebranding. But if you think it's dope, you can let me know. But anyhow, so because the reason is that every single thing we preach from this pulpit, every single thing that we teach in our small groups, every single time we gather together with other believers, really we should be always talking about the goals that Jesus had for us on the cross. We should always be talking about what's the goal of Jesus in our marriage? What's the goal of Jesus in our work situation? What's the goal of Jesus in our own personal devotion? What is the goal for Jesus in worship? What is the goal that Jesus has in mind? And so as we're doing that this last month, we've been talking through many things that Jesus came to rid us of, and shame, fear, and guilt among those. And today I want to talk to you about something that he came to give you. When Jesus went to the cross, when he died on the cross, he came to give you something. And this something is illustrated right there on Palm Sunday as he is marching his way in to what would be his final week. Here he is, he's marching in, and people are waiting a coming king. And they're looking for a champion to come in with a sword. They're looking for a champion to come in with military might. They're looking for a champion to get rid of the oppressor and to overcome the oppressor on behalf of the oppressed. And so here's who they're looking for. And then Jesus kind of starts to fit the bill a little bit in this story. And we read this each year, these words, these passages each year, about Jesus entering to what would ultimately be his voluntary, substitutionary, atoning death on the cross for you and for me. So as he's coming into town, this is what we celebrate on Palm Sunday. Let's go to the scriptures and look at this. Matthew chapter 21, it says this. Now when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethpage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. Now I love this. Every time I read this, this is sanctioned theft. Jesus is like, hey, homeboy, you know, like if we tried to pull this off, we'd be arrested. Like, it's just not right. But Jesus is like, yeah, you'll just find somebody else's donkey. Just go ahead and just steal it. And so here's what he says, verse 3. If you think I'm kidding, look at verse 3. And if anyone says anything to you, nobody's going to say anything to you. You're just stealing their colt. If anyone says anything to you, you shall say, the Lord needs them. And then he'll send them at once. So you'll get their permission. Now it's not theft anymore. Verse 4. This took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey, on a colt, and on a foal of the beast of burden. The disciples went and did as Jesus directed them, and they brought the donkey and the colt and put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. So Jesus is at this stage where he's about to go in to ultimately end up at Golgotha. He's going to ultimately end up voluntarily dying for all of humanity, for you and for me. And not humanity kind of in a broad-based, I don't know them sense, but remember, this is the God who knows every thought you have. This is the God that knows the number of hair on your head. This is the guy that knows the God that knows your story. So when Jesus is dying for you, I think a lot of times we say, oh, well, Jesus died for the whole world, and we kind of make it impersonal. But that's the exact opposite of the God that we worship. The God that we worship is extremely personal. And so when he died for you, he literally had you and me on his mind. And so as he's about to do this, though, something different happens in his ministry. When you look at Jesus' ministry in most of the gospel, you just read through any time. I want you to watch how many times Jesus heals somebody, and then you know what he says? He says, don't tell anybody I did this. Over and over, he does this. And I'm just like, what a waste of superpower. Like, I would be like, ah, look at that, healed the blind. My name's Tolly Wilkins, you know? right? You'd be handing out business cards. You'd just be like, hey, you know, I need your affirmation. But for whatever reason, that wasn't Jesus' story. Even when the people came and they Jesus fed the 5,000, remember that? That was a great story. But then they came back, you know, a day or so later, and he's like, no burgers for you. Like, he's like, building's closed, McDonald's is shut down, you're just coming here to get food, you're not interested in the gospel message I'm trying to deliver. And so popularity wasn't his thing. Allowing people to look at him as something separate wasn't his thing. In fact, what his thing was to be humble and to be behind the scenes. And many of the miracles that we see done, he was never trying to do them for attention. But what he was doing was he was drawing attention to the gospel, the coming kingdom. And so he would teach on that, but then he would tell the person, he'd say, hey, you know, don't tell anybody about this. Just let this be between you and God. Like, God did this. I'm a servant of God. Just let it be this way. But something happened. Something happened because on this day, at this hour, in this moment, Jesus was very intentional about not only being seen, but how he would be seen. And so what he did was he said, now I could just go and I could get up on the cross. Now, would the cross salvation have the same power if he walked into town? If he took a cab, if he took an Uber? Like, would it all work out? I wonder if they had like an Uber app for Colts, right? It's like, the black sedan? No, I'll take the Colt. But what if, of course the salvation would have been just as powerful. But what was Jesus showing in this moment? What was he doing? It was hearkening back to the fact that the people were looking for a coming king. And he was ready to give them to him. The people wanted a king, and he was now ready to give them a king. What is this about? This is about purpose. Purpose. You see, Jesus knew his purpose on earth. And so when his mother came to him and said, hey, you need to be doing something. Can you do something about this party? He's like, hey, woman, now's not the time. When he's going along and people are trying to clamor for him and having to get him to heal everybody. Did you know one of the most powerful statements that is made by Jesus is the fact that he did not heal everybody? We just focus in on the ones that he did and we're just like, yeah, I want that, I want that, I want that. But are you okay if he chooses to not? Is Jesus' power in your life only if he chooses to make the example out of you in that way? What if he allows the pain to continue? But either way, everything he did was with purpose. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus knows whose he was. Jesus knew what he was set out to do by God. Jesus knew from where he came. And as Jesus carried himself, he knew how he was being perceived by others. He was self-aware. Because everything he was doing with purpose, intentionality. And we could all learn a lesson about what is one thing that Jesus gave us on the cross when he died for us? He gave you purpose. He gave you purpose. So many people go through life bouncing around like a pinball in a pinball machine with no purpose. And it's not just young people, it's older people, it's middle age, it's every age. We just have no purpose. We just kind of wake up and we do, and we mindlessly go to work, and we mindlessly punch in the same digits, and we mindlessly go home and have the same habits and throw our clothes in the same pile, and we lack purpose. But Jesus gave us purpose on the cross. And if you know your purpose, there's some things that come along with it. Here's one. My purpose defines my position. My position doesn't define my purpose. Some of you need that for the job you're in, the life stage you're in, the situations you're in. Some of you need that for the title that you have. Some of you need that for the stage of life that you're in right now. I'm single. I'm married. I'm single again because I got married. Whatever it might be, your positioning is defining you too much. And you're not thinking about your purpose. Your purpose is taking a backseat because you're more worried about your positioning. I'm more worried about where I am at this moment, at this snapshot in life. I'm so worried about this snapshot, I'm not seeing my bigger purpose. But Jesus, When he sent for the colt, what he was doing, he was being intentional. He was saying, okay, before I did not have need to carry myself in such a way that drew eyeballs. But now I know my purpose. Now my purpose is to allow these people to see their coming king. And so getting the colt was a lot more than just getting a colt. Getting a colt was not because Jesus couldn't walk. He walked everywhere. Getting the colt was more about the perception of others, not his own feet. He didn't say, oh, well, the reason I need you to get a colt is because my dogs are barking. You know, he didn't say that. That's an expression for my Caucasian crowd, that your feet hurt. So he didn't say like, hey, my feet hurt, so go get me an animal. No. It says he did that so it took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. Purpose. Intent. Are you living on purpose? The position that you have. You see, the position was Jesus getting himself up onto the donkey, up onto the colt, and riding it in. This was a position. So when they looked off in the distance, you could see there was a crowd around that was walking with Jesus. But the position is the rank, the person who's seated on the colt. That's the one. So even from a distance, I could tell. Even if I didn't have HDTV, you preach 52 times a year. Even if you didn't have binoculars, you would be able to see by the far distant shadow when the light's just glistening and you're squinting your eyes, the one that is on the colt. That's his position. But how many times do you see in the Bible where Jesus was just walking among the people? His position. He wasn't trying to be lifted up. That wasn't really important to him. He was just one of many. How many times does he serve when he's not supposed to be in that position? He served and he washes the disciples' feet. Do you remember that? And only slave people would wash the feet at that time. But he knew his purpose. His position didn't define him. So he had no problem taking a lower position in the world's eyes because he knew his purpose. It is so powerful when you know your purpose from God. Because no matter what position you're in, you're going to change the position. You're going to change the way people view that position. I remember when I was a kid, the Golden State Warriors were the laughingstock of basketball. The absolute laughingstock. Like nobody wanted to go there. Everybody that played there were terrible. All of a sudden they get a couple of players that don't mind throwing on the jersey. Now it's like the most sold jerseys in the whole country. What is it? Is it the position? Is it Golden State? No. It's the people with purpose. When they put on the uniform, it changes the uniform. The uniform doesn't change me. I change the uniform. It is powerful when you know your position. When you know who you are before God, when you know what God has called you to do, when you know that you're a man or a woman of God, when you know that God has a destiny in store for you, when you know where you're going, you're not really worried about what people see in the snapshot. His position. Jesus' posture towards God was the same, whether he was hiding out among a group of people, whether he was one-on-one with the woman at the well. His demeanor, his posture, how he carried himself, all the same. Why? Because he knew his purpose. And when you know your purpose, you change the position. So you say, well, you know what? Well, how does it affect me? Well, here's the practical reality. You're starting out in your career. And everybody's looking down, and you got people that have been around, and really what they're trying to do is hold their job. They don't want to elevate you, because if they do, then they might be, the employer might say, well, we don't want that. And so you're dealing with the fact that you feel like you're swimming upstream all the time trying to. Or maybe your position is that you're single. And so you're just allowing your entire identity be wrapped up in being saying, I'm just single. Everything will be better if I just get married. Lord, just send the one. Lord, I'm faithful. I'm reading my Bible. You're not sending anybody. And you're so wrapped up in that moment that you're missing all the purpose. You're missing your purpose. I often joke that everywhere I've been, and this is part of just the kind of the purpose that God put in me. I knew it at 12, 13 years old. God was going to do something good, you know, great with my life. I wrote Christy, my wife, a letter. We have this letter at the house that I wrote her when I was 19 years old. And I wrote her this letter, and she's from a small town called Mogginsville outside Hagerstown. And it's just true. But I'm from Baltimore and in the inner city, like hood inner city. And so I wrote her this when we started to date, and I said, I've been to your, you know, I don't say this way, it's paraphrased, but I've been to your small town, and if we're going to continue dating, I just want you to know I'll never be able to live in that environment. And there's a good chance that God's going to move me over and over and over. I really believe God's going to do something great with my life. And so if you want a farmer and you want a state, you know, you want 17 kids and you want a lot of land and you want a guy that's going to milk cows, I'm not your guy. And I wrote this at like 19. I didn't say all that stuff about cows. But I did say, listen, God's got a plan for me. And I believe it's going to require me to move a lot. I believe there's going to be adversity. I believe people are not going to like me sometimes. And I wrote all this in the letter. And I said, I need to tell you this now because I don't want to get more serious with you and then feel like that you didn't get what you were looking for. What is it that tells a person at 19 years old, God's going to use me. Don't marry me. Even though you're absolutely stunning, she's hot. Even though I could lose you, I need to let you know what my purpose is. I need to let you know what God's put in here. The only thing that does that is knowing that you've heard from God and what your purpose is in life. Jesus was intentional. When you know your purpose, you give meaning to your position. Your position doesn't give meaning to you. Most of the crowd, verse 8, most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road. Their cloaks are just their outer garments, their jackets. They spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and followed him were shouting, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! Hosanna! He who saves! And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, who is this? And the crowd said, this is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee. Jump down to verse 20. Now among those who went up to worship at his feet were some Greeks. So those came to Philip, who was with Bethsaida in Galilee, and asked him, sir, we wish to see Jesus. Philip went and told Andrew. Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. You see, all this is going on. The town's turned upside down. People are getting noisy. And Jesus, you know what his focus was? He said, the hour has come. What do we learn from that? My purpose brings my future into focus. When I know my purpose, I know when the moment's coming. When I know my purpose, I can sense it. This is the time to strike. This is what we've been waiting for. This is the time. This is what's going on. And so when I know my purpose, I'm just waiting for it. When I know my purpose, I'm waiting for that right opportunity. When I know that we wanted to launch another location, you just know it. But it's like, all right, God, all right, God, all right, God. And when the opportunity comes, you're ready. Because you know your purpose. You know what you're about. And so you're not marching through life blind and aimless and looking down and saying, man, my position's holding me back and these people above me hold me back. There are more people that just whine about stuff than I've ever seen in my life right now. And we just got to get over it and just say, you know what? I know my purpose. My purpose is not defined in my position. I define my position. I told Christy, I was finishing up that story on the letter. I told Christy at 19, here's who I'm going to be. But here's the thing. Ever since I've been in high school and I felt that God was calling me to do something great, they put me at the front, you know, cash register at McDonald's when I was 15. And within 3 or 4 weeks, I learned every job in the place. Why? Because I'm not just going to be just the guy here. I'm going to go ahead and do this and do this. You're going to have to figure out a way to fire me. I'm going to make myself so valuable the managers are going to get scared. And that's how you just live with purpose. You don't let people define you, box you in. You just go ahead and keep getting more. Ultimately, I went ahead and got a master's degree. Why? I remember sitting in my counselor's office when I was in seventh grade. And by the way, I'm only telling you these stories personally just because I don't know a better way to point out purpose except for I just know what it feels like for me. And so, blah. So if you go home and you're like, wow, he talked a lot about it, just turn and be like, yeah, dummy, he's telling you God gave him a purpose. So go get yours. So, but don't say dummy, that's rude. But here's the thing. Here's the thing. I remember when I was told by a counselor, a guidance counselor, you don't have a dad in your home. You don't come from good stock. You live in that particular zip code. You're not going to amount to anything. A guidance counselor! And so I don't care if you're in 5th, 6th, 7th grade. God is writing your story right now. God can put purpose in your heart right now. You could be a kid, you could be in college, you could be a single, you could be 85, and you know what? You still got a Caleb moment in front of you. Give me that mountain. Purpose. My purpose brings my future into focus because you know what's happening. Jesus said, the hour has come. The hour has come. Jesus could sense it. Jesus knew from the Father what was about to go down. He was talking with the Father. He was in communion with the Father. He knew his purpose from the Father. And it was then that he knew this was going to be it. When he's sitting there and he's at the Last Supper, we all just look at this long table and everybody's sitting on one side of the table, which would be really odd, right? Wouldn't you think somebody would just go to the other side of the table? But anyway. But we just have this caricature in our mind about how everything went down. But how it went down was he looked at them and he's like, guys, this is it. Time's coming. You know first. When you have your purpose in your heart, you know before other people know what's about to happen. You just know. God's clear. You see stuff lining up. You see God on the move. You just know. My purpose brings my future into focus. Jesus knew his purpose was taking shape. He knew he was about to be glorified. He knew in this moment he was receiving the glory through people making a path with palms. But look what he said, the hour has come for man to be glorified. You can bring your future into focus if you have purpose to your passion. Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat, look what he says. So they're like, hey, we want to get near the rock star. We want to get near the rock star. Can we get near Jesus? And Jesus is like, hey, the moment's about to come. I'm about to be glorified. Now that was cool. Everybody's giving me glory on the road coming in here, but that you don't need to get to me because of that. You need to get to me for a whole nother reason. Look what he says in verse 24. Therefore, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls to the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Whoever loves his life will lose it. And whoever hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must, what? Follow me. Everybody say follow. Everybody say follow. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there will be my servant also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him. Now is my soul troubled? Look what he says. Listen to these questions. Now, is my soul troubled? What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? But for this purpose, everybody say purpose, I have come to the hour. For this purpose, I've come to the hour. So they're breaking in, they're trying to see Jesus, and Jesus is like, you know what? You just saw the glory on the street. There's about to be a whole different glory that breaks loose. Because you could either be a seed and just kind of die off on yourself, or you can plant yourself and die to yourself and have so much more fruit with your life. But if you love this life you have, and this is the life, this is it, if this moment is it, and you're not willing to sacrifice, you're not willing to surrender, you're not willing to lay yourself down for anybody or anything else, it's all going to be about you, then fine, you're going to die that way, alone, by yourself, and that's it. Or you can lay your life down. Remember purpose. Jesus knew what he was about to do. This was the moment. He's like, you're giving me glory one way. Let me teach you about a whole other way to get glory. This whole other way to get glory is to know your purpose and to lay down yourself for the benefit of others. That's how you can get more glory. Not just getting on a horse and riding through. Yay! What does it take for a person to just stand up in front of a crowd and be like, hey, look at me, look at me? That doesn't take anything. Children do that. Two, 3 years old, they do that. Every week when we break down our church at our other location, we have kids that run up and want to bang on the drums and talk into the mic, including my own. Why? Because it doesn't take much. You just want to get attention, doesn't take much. But to lay yourself down, that takes a lot. That takes a lot. My purpose becomes my passion when my passion is His purpose. My purpose becomes my passion when my passion becomes His purpose. Now see, you might say, well, that's confusing. What's the word passion mean? Do you know the movie Passion of the Christ? One of the reasons some people don't get it is the word passion, it doesn't mean passion like you and I have. You and I have passion where we think about, okay, on a romantic interest. Oh, there's passion. We think of passion like a fanatical sports fan. Oh, they're just passionate about that game. We think of passion like a boss who wants a higher return on their money. Oh, they're passionate about winning at business. No. Do you know what the Latin word for passion is? Suffering. Suffering. It's suffering. Latin, passionium, means suffering and enduring. Enduring. You see, we have this word passion, and it doesn't help us to fully understand what was going on here. But Jesus had passion. But His passion was to endure to the end. His passion was to make it. So He asked this question. He said, what am I supposed to do? Look down on the fact that this day's coming? No, this is my moment. And if I have to suffer, if I have to lay my life down, guess what He says to the people? He said, you know what? He said, if you're gonna be children of my Father, you have to what? What did I tell you? Follow me. Everybody say, follow me. You see, here's the thing. I want you to get the principle in this picture. Jesus is up. He's walking into town. Everyone else, where are they in position to Jesus? Are they in front or behind? They are in front of Him. And in front of Him, they can say, oh, I'll help you, Jesus. I'll lay the line down for you. I'll take off my jacket. Oh, Jesus, look at all this suffering I'm doing for you. And in front of Him, they put themselves up and they say, look what I'm doing for you, King. But Jesus, when this guy wants to break through this big crowd and get a hold of Jesus, He says, hold on, time out. I want you to see that you're trying to get a hold of me from what you saw when you were in front of me. But the Son of Man is about to suffer. And if you want to be in my kingdom, all of God's children will follow me. It's easy to have passion if passion means that I get to be loud and slam on a table, celebrate my team. But what Jesus is talking about is a different kind of passion, a different kind of purpose, which means that you endure. Remember, Paul, I run the race set before me. Endure the shame. We are buried with Christ in His death. We take on the image of Jesus, who was publicly ridiculed, publicly shamed, publicly had His own disciples turn their back. Even His closest denied Him 3 times before the rooster crowed. I really believe, as Christ followers, many of us don't really know what our purpose is. We think our purpose is to be the ones laying the palms in front of Jesus. But if you look, He turned to them and said, no, you guys need to follow me. Where was He about to go? Hold on, Jesus. I mean, I was cool with you when you're riding the donkey. I thought that was weird. Thought you could have took an Uber. But Jesus, you're telling me right now in this moment that I need to follow you, and you're headed to passion. You're headed to endurance. You're headed to laying your life down. And now you're talking about surrendering yourself so that something else can be birthed up, that a seed has to die and plant itself so that it could have fruit. Whoa. What's my purpose? My purpose is to take this life and say, God, this life is yours. And I will plant this life. I will bury this life into this world's ground. And I will generate more fruit for the gospel, more fruit for the kingdom. I will take my paycheck and bury it into the ground and let Jesus use it. I will take my time, my talent, my treasure, and I will advance the kingdom of God with it. Because if I lay myself down, God, you will raise me up. I know my purpose. I know my purpose. My purpose is to love and to serve and to care for those who are in need. My purpose is to not look after my own interests, but look after the interests of others. My purpose is to become the very, very best. If I'm an accountant, I want to become the very best accountant that there's ever been. If I'm a teacher, I'm going to be the greatest teacher these kids ever, 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 ever heard of. Ever. If I'm a nurse, I'm going to be the greatest nurse. If I'm a computer programmer, I'm gonna believe that God's gonna use me to program something great that changes the world. I know my purpose. I'm a mom. I'm gonna raise amazing, God-fearing children that with their lives, they plant their lives down in the soil of this earth and raise up fruit for generations behind me that I may never even see. But what I can see is the investment I'm making every single day when I wake up with that kid. I'm a grandparent. I'm going to invest an example for my children as they are parenting. I'm going to invest an example for my grandson, my granddaughter, to make sure that their memories look back and say, Mama loved Jesus. Pop-Pop loved Jesus. I know my purpose. Your purpose doesn't have to be you become a missionary or be a preacher. Your purpose needs to be that you bury your life in this ground. You say, Lord, you have my life. I'm ready to lose it for your purpose. You see, when you know your purpose, my purpose becomes my passion. When my passion is His purpose. When I'm willing to suffer if it means that God gets glory, then I'm hitting my stride. When I'm willing to leverage everything that I have in my life so that the kingdom of God gets expanded, then I'm hitting my stride. Purpose. If anyone serves me, he must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. You see me, you see my servant. When the world looks, they can't see Jesus. This week, people at your job, they can't see Jesus. Their eyes are spiritually blinded. They can't see Jesus. But you know who they can see? They see you. And all of a sudden, instead of complaining about the low-paying job, believing, griping every day with your coworkers that you deserve better and you need to be in a corner office and you need blah, 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 blah. Instead of all that, what if you just decided they can't see Jesus, but they can see me? And for this moment in this season, I'm going to do my job with excellence and I'm going to show everybody around me that I have the favor of God on my life. And my position doesn't define my purpose. But my purpose defines this position. As long as they have me here, they're going to have a God-fearing, God-honoring soldier for Christ that is on the front lines in prayer for all my coworkers. They don't know it, but they're paying me a check to bring Jesus up in here. They are funding a missionary. And truly, I believe we miss out. Because we don't see our lives this way. But when Jesus got up on the cross, that's exactly what He was doing. He was giving you purpose. Why are you still on the planet? Because you still have a purpose. If you're not dead, God's not done. Let your passion, let your position, and let your purpose be surrendered to the glory of God.